You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, everyone. We are back for another episode of BDA Baby, Before, During, After Baby. And I'm so excited today to talk to my friend Gabi about fertility and her journey to get to welcome her beautiful little girl that's so fresh and so new. I'm so happy we both have girls also. So that's going to be super fun. Hillary's so excited for both of us to talk to each other. So I'm really excited because Gabi's been super open and honest and just really great about her whole fertility journey. So many of you guys wrote in asking to hear more about people's different fertility journeys and at different points in their fertility journeys. So Gabi's been really open about her experience. You can check out her page, and she has videos that she's also done with her husband, which I think is so great because your partner is such a big part of that, and they've done so well together. So we're going to talk to her about that, and she's at a different phase than Lauren and Jason are in, and so many other people are in that we're going to be talking to. So I'm going to bring her on here and talk to her. I think she's like 5 or 6 weeks postpartum. I can't believe she's taking time to talk to us. Hi!
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Wait, I was just trying to think. Are you five or how old is the baby right now?
Poppy's going to be 6 weeks tomorrow.
So you're, because I just saw in your video that you're about to get cleared by your doctor to actually
excited. Like, I can't.
I know.
I like do squats at home, but I'm like, can I lift weights yet? Like, I'm so excited to be sore.
I know. It's crazy. It's such a, everybody thinks like, oh, you're going to have the best excuse to just not have to move your body or work out. And then you're like, the thing that you want to do the most is actually work out for like the first time.
My muscles have atrophied. Like, I don't even know what sore.
I know you're a different kind of sore in different ways now, but you want to have the workout sore soon. So I was just saying that I'm so happy that you took the time, because I can't even believe that you took the time 6 weeks later to even get on here and talk to us, because I was like in a total daze. But you've just been so amazingly open and honest about your fertility journey. And so many people have been asking to hear about more people's fertility journeys. And so I wanted to talk to you about that, especially with this happy news that you've had a little girl, which I'm so happy that you had a little girl.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing all the BDA baby stuff. I watched all of them. I've watched them all every week you've done them, and they're amazing. Last week when you did the one on freezing your eggs, I was like, I texted everyone I know. I was like, do it. You're in LA. I know the doctors.
It's crazy. It's also just so crazy because I feel like we all as girls, especially in our friend group, are all really open, communicative about this topic. I mean, I remember getting my nails done with you. I think it was a couple of years ago now, and you were
in a totally... You gave me that crystal.
I did give you that crystal.
I still have it.
Makes me happy. And you were, you know, we were at such different places in our lives, but also you were at a totally different place in your fertility journey. And, you know, so much has happened for you since then. Mm-hmm. But before we kind of dive into that, can we take everybody who maybe isn't as familiar with your fertility journey just back a little bit to start to get everybody familiar with your fertility? Sure.
Yeah. So we started trying to get pregnant back in 2017. And went into it like bright-eyed, bushy-tail, like didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. And the first time we ever got pregnant was in, I don't know, whatever. It was probably in like October. Actually, I remember when it was October because I ended up losing a friend because I got pregnant. And then they had a wedding in Mexico a couple weeks later. And I was like, I can't come. Like there's Zika there. Yeah. And I bailed and we're not anymore. Doesn't matter. We're fine. Anyways, we get pregnant. I take 27 pregnancy tests and I tell Thomas, we're both so excited. We go over to my parents' house to tell them. And they're like, oh my God, amazing. They didn't shout and scream. They're both in the medical world. And they're like, let's get through the first 12 weeks. And just hearing their reaction to our news was so helpful in the fact that, oh, we're definitely not out of the woods just because we're 4.5 weeks pregnant. Like I just missed my period.
Right.
So we went to the doctor for like my 6 or 8 week appointment. I think it was 8 weeks when you're allowed to go. And the heartbeat was slow and the whatever it's called was very small. So she's like, okay, come back next week. I went back next week. It was smaller and there was no heartbeat. And she was like, okay, that's, you know, this is a miscarriage. And so we were sad, but we knew it was a possibility because of my parents' reaction. So it was nice to have known that in the back of our head before we went in. And then since then we ended up miscarrying. I've lost track. It's either 5 or 6 times before this successful pregnancy that we had in 2020.
Wow. Yes. That's crazy. So I think, I mean, one of the things that, that I've always really admired about you when it comes to a variety of different things, including you're an incredible chef, when it comes to this topic is that you've always, every single time I've talked to you about it and any of my friends have talked to you about it, you've always remained incredibly optimistic and positive, which I think is such a hard thing to do with a topic that is heartbreaking. And for a lot of people feels like there is no way to think in a positive way or to stay optimistic. How would you advise people to maintain that level of optimism? Because you've done it so well and it's obviously led to a beautiful success in your little girl. And there are also so many people who are experiencing loss and frustrated and feel, you know, hopeless.
Yeah. So, and this goes beyond the pregnancy stuff, but I just believe that every morning you wake up and you get to choose the kind of day you're going to have. Like, are you going to wake up and be in a great mood and be positive? And, or are you just going to like let things get to you? And I certainly have days where I'm not in like a bright, cheerful mood and like I'm upset about something or whatever it is. But for the most part, I want to choose happiness and I want to choose to be joyful and appreciate what I do have in my life. So with all the miscarriages, I knew there was nothing like it wasn't my fault. I wasn't doing anything wrong to make these miscarriages happen. Like it was just bad luck because after the first one, we had a lot of educational conversations with my dad about how, you know, 1 in 4 pregnancies ends in miscarriages. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's a chromosomal abnormality that you can't control. It's just whatever egg you end up throwing that month. Throwing, I mean, like ovulating.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, there's nothing wrong with me. And Thomas, my husband, made me feel really good about that stuff too. Like every time we went through a miscarriage, I was like, God, are you so annoyed? Like we've wanted kids for 3 years now. And he's like, no, like there's nothing wrong with you. We're not doing anything wrong. So for me, the days I found out when it was a miscarriage or something, of course I was sad. I cried. And then the next day I would pick myself back up, call my girlfriends, lots of people sent flowers, have a glass of wine and like choose to see the joy in what I get to do. Like I still have an incredible job and I still have amazing friends and I love my family so much. So like, let me be grateful for those things. And then we'll figure out how to have a baby one day. Like it'll happen when it's meant to happen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I think that, you know, what a lot of people had written in and asked when, you know, I posted about doing this conversation was, you know, when people experience a loss or a miscarriage at whatever phase you are in your pregnancy, it's heartbreaking, it's shocking, it feels like you want to be excited, but then, you know, you don't know, should you not be excited? And then something like that happens. And then if you get pregnant again after, you know, your reaction to that might be a little bit different. But for some people, you said you experienced 5 or 6 miscarriages before Poppy, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So how did you want to just continue to keep going and just say, like, I'm not going to, you know, you didn't give up. You just kind of continued to stay positive and try.
Great question. I think we kept trying. Well, the first 3 miscarriages, we just tried on our own without getting any help involved, like before seeing a specialist or anything like that. And it was just like one of those things. Okay, 1, bad luck. 2 in a row, that's a little less common. 3 right. in a row, let's seek some help. But like, we knew we wanted a kid and we knew that we were going to have a kid one way or the other, whether that was getting pregnant naturally, IVF, adopting, whatever it is. It was just a matter of time to when it, like, it just, we didn't know when it would happen. Right. But it's, well, the question was how you stay optimistic after each one or how you handle the news of the next one.
Yeah. I mean, just how you decide to not give up, because there's obviously, I mean, you just mentioned that you're open to so many different possibilities to get to a place where you can actually have a child.
Right.
And there are, we live in a world where there are so many different ways to have a baby. You can do surrogacy, you can do IVF, you can do it naturally. There are so many different ways, you know, you can adopt. There are great ways to do so many different things. But you decided to continue to try and have a baby. And obviously it was successful, but just not stopping after the second one and saying, you know what, I give up. This is too intense. It's too heartbreaking. It's too devastating. You continued.
Yeah, I've had this, a lot of people have asked me this question just like on DMs, people I don't know. And they're like, how, like, it's a total legit question. I'm just someone who likes to push through. I think that's just been my experience. So I'm just like, head down, let's make it happen, however it is. I think it probably stemmed from playing sports growing up and like being a little competitive and wanting to prove to myself that I can do something. But also, like, after the 3rd miscarriage, when we went to go see my doctor, he's an IVF specialist. He was just like, cool. Like, this is great, Gabby. We have so much information from these past 3. Give me 1 year to dial you in terms of like looking at my tubes and fixing my septum and working on my thyroid and like all these different things. He made me so positive about the whole situation. I wasn't worried about keeping going. And at that point, I knew what a DMC felt like after the miscarriages, and they're not that bad, especially if you go under. So I knew mentally I could handle that.
Right. And I think also, you know, one of the things that I often find with women, especially, is we spend so much of our, you know, teenage years and college years trying to not get pregnant and doing everything that we can, having anxiety about, you know, will I get pregnant, or making sure that doesn't happen. And then the day comes where you want to get pregnant and you want to get pregnant quick. And, you know, you experienced 3 miscarriages. Clearly you were able to get pregnant, but it was maintaining the pregnancy.
Right.
And then going to see a doctor that says, after your 3 miscarriages, give me a year. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a huge amount of patience to be able to do that. And to just say, you know what, this is it in, you know, I'm going to just let this be and let this unfold the way it is, which is, you know, incredibly challenging and obviously easier said than done for so many people. But you were able to just be really relaxed and chill about that, which I would love to be able to give people advice on that, because people want these things. You know, we live in a world where everything, we want everything instantly, but especially we want to get pregnant quick.
Yeah. And it's tough because when you are seeing an IVF specialist or any sort of specialist, you have to have tests done, and those tests can only happen at certain times of the month. And so, you know, if you were seeing a dermatologist, you could go do everything in like a week. But if you're seeing something for fertility, you have to do it at like certain days on your cycle. And I think the answer to this goes back to kind of what I said earlier. Like I knew it was going to be a rough year, just like waiting for all these results and doing, like, I had to have surgery and have my septum fixed because I had a, like a heart-shaped septum. And if your egg implants up here, it might not get enough blood flow. So they needed to like level out my uterus. So everything was pretty.
Beautiful.
But I just knew it was going to be a crazy year. So I chose to focus on the things that made me happy. I wrote another cookbook. I saw my friends because this was at a time we could breathe each other's air. Like I went out for dinner. Like I focused on the things that I knew made me happy to lift me up while I couldn't control this other part of my life, because that's another thing. Like I'm super type A. I have a lot of control issues.
Right.
And this is something you cannot control. Like you literally can't control it. So I think you just have to be able to have that conversation with yourself and give it up, like give up that control to the universe and to your doctors and all these different things. And when you're a little bit more calm about something, sometimes it just happens naturally.
Did you ever feel in your journey like, oh my God, this is too much. This is too daunting. There's, you know, I have to have this done with my tubes. I have to have this done with my uterus, you know, or were you just kind of like game on, let's do it all?
Yeah, I was game for everything, but there were points where Thomas and I would have conversations and I'm like, if this doesn't work this time, like I've always wanted to adopt, to be totally honest. I've talked about it since I was a kid. Like, I think it'd be super cool to adopt a baby. And I'm like, let's just adopt. Like, it's fine. And, you know, our doctor, Dr. Wong, was like, okay, but we're going to check all these things off the list before we resort to adoption or IVF or something like that. So me being a checklist kind of person, I never put the kibosh on anything because I wanted to finish out what we started.
Mm-hmm. So you were always kind of just open to any possibility of having a child.
Yeah. And I still am. Like, we definitely want more, but like, I have no idea if it's going to take us another 3.5-4 years to get pregnant after Poppy. I just learned that if you have a baby after 35, you're considered geriatric, and I'm upset that I will be referred to.
It's crazy. I mean, it's such a, I remember my friend telling me when she had a baby at, because my mom had me at 34, and then, yeah, you know, I have three younger siblings. So it's just so crazy that we're calling, you know, anything after 35 geriatric.
So rude. Needs a rebrand.
I know. Totally. You should do that. Just rebrand all of that. I also, you know, I love the fact, and I think people also really respond to the fact that you've been so open about this journey with your husband, Thomas, which I think is so beautiful and amazing and such a big part of your ability to remain optimistic and positive about the entire experience. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think so many people are open about their relationships being fractured or, you know, really suffering in a fertility journey, and yours seem to have done really well.
Yeah. Thomas has been uber supportive in the whole thing. And even in the delivery of our daughter a couple weeks ago, like he's always taken the mindset, like, I'm just going to be here for you. Like, so whatever you need, we'll do. If you don't want to do all these procedures with Dr. Wong, we don't have to do them. We'll do something else. If you need me to bring you cookies after your surgery, like, how can I make your life easier? Because you're the one going through it. That's how he always described it to me.
Great partner.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, he was going through it too. Like, he had to deal with all of it mentally. And to watch your partner go through pain, like when I'm in a surgery or the time I've done DNCs awake, like that was really hard for him. But he was just really good about, you know, making it about how can I help you? Like, how, because it's my body that has to have all the stuff.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Was there anything that you guys did together in your, you know, relationship that you felt helped strengthen it, that you could give advice to other people who might be going through that or struggling with their partner?
Yeah, we were really open about talking about everything together. Like so when we would talk to my parents, who, my dad's a doctor, like we were really open-minded to everything he was saying. And then we would go home and talk about that ourselves. And how does that make you feel? And how does it make you feel? I think the line of communication has to be super open, because if one partner isn't comfortable with something that's happening, that can cause a lot of stress. And just like, you just have to be on the same page. So I think the communication thing is huge. And then focusing on parts of your relationship that aren't affected by trying to get pregnant, going on vacation when that's possible, and like investing in each other and checking in with each other and making sure that we're both okay mentally, physically, whatever. That was a huge thing for both of us.
That's so great. I think that it's really, I mean, you obviously have an incredible husband, but I think it's also, you know, it's really important for people to be able to have things that they can do together in their relationship that is separate from their fertility journey, because, you know, we become really focused on that and only that, especially when right. you're trying to get pregnant, and it can affect friendships. It can affect your partnership.
It's a lot. It's yeah. so much to think about. It's stressful, and it's nice to focus on other things to help minimize that.
Were there ever times where you just felt overwhelmed by the stress of it?
Yes, definitely. Like every time I had to go in for a DNC, I was super emotional, and it was just like, oh God, we have to do this again. I have to go under again. Like it was a lot to handle, but I've always been really comfortable in medical situations, I think because of my family. So it was like, you know, I felt safe with my doctors. I felt safe with my husband. I knew anesthesia Gabi is really funny. So really look forward to seeing those videos afterwards every time. Like I always looked for the positive in whatever it was I was having to go through.
Yeah. I think that's so amazing that you have that ability to do that. And I think it's also, you know, having that ability to be positive and optimistic, especially when you, you know, finally are able to get pregnant and have a healthy pregnancy is so important, because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that, that experience miscarriage, and when they finally get pregnant again and end up having a healthy pregnancy, the whole time there's this underlying anxiety of, is it going to stay? Is this going to be okay? When am I going to celebrate? When am I going to enjoy it? Is there any joy in this process until the baby's out and okay? And then even then it's like, you don't know if the baby's going to come out and be okay. So how did you balance that?
So when we got pregnant this last time, we had actually decided to do IVF, and we were about to go in and do like some test or something. And I got pregnant naturally, just, you know, not having to do all that stuff. And it was so stressful, because when I went in, my levels were elevated. They're like, oh, you're pregnant. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I went in 2 days later and they're like, oh, your levels are zero. And I was like, okay, it's a chemical pregnancy, no big deal. Turns out they had mixed up my results at the lab with someone else. And so, so I was pregnant, but they had sent me someone else's HCG, which was zero. And HCG is the hormone that you use to tell you're pregnant. And so for a week, I thought I wasn't pregnant. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we're just going to do this whole rigmarole again. And then I never got my period, and I called my dad. I was like, dad, I haven't got my period. He's like, something's weird. Like, it's been too long. So I took a pregnancy test, called my doctor. He's like, you need to come in today. Cause I have to be on progesterone when I am pregnant, cause I have really low progesterone levels. Mm-hmm. Anyways, whatever. They mix up my test results. Always double check the name on things when you get the results back. And so that right off the bat set the tone for this pregnancy that I was terrified. Like, right. I didn't share it with most people in my life until I was past 20 weeks and I had had that 3D scan, because I just wanted to play it so close to the chest, because you, like, after having so many miscarriages, you get so nervous. So that was tough. And there was a lot going on at this time last year. Like, I found out I was pregnant in May, and COVID had just, like, it was the whole summer last year was just so brutal. So I was just, like, very much a hermit. And yeah. I kept things very close to home. I only told a very few friends that I was pregnant. And then even at 20, when I announced it, 20 weeks, I still wasn't comfortable celebrating. Right. Like, and I had told everyone that, like, one of my girlfriends actually, like, freaked out and cried and all these things when I told her I was pregnant. And I was like, you can't do that yet. Like, I'm not comfortable with that, because I don't know if it's going to stick. Like, you can miscarry much further along. Right. So that was really hard to actually figure out how to do that. And I don't know if I ever felt really comfortable till I was, like, 7 months pregnant. And my doctor was like, okay, if something happened, we could deliver you today.
Right. So you got to a point where you actually were able to enjoy your pregnancy or celebrate your pregnancy.
Yeah. I almost called it Q3. The third trimester.
I've been talking to Hillary this morning.
Third trimester, I really enjoyed it. But the first trimester sucked. I was so sick. I only ate grilled cheese. And the second trimester, I was really nervous. But by the third, I felt pretty comfortable with where I was.
That's great. Because I think it's so hard when you go through a pregnancy and there's, you know, people around you want to celebrate because it's so exciting, but also you being the person that's pregnant want to be safe and careful and not get to a place where you're, you know, too excited. So it's amazing that you were able to get to that place of being excited and being able to be, do you feel like you were present in your pregnancy?
Not as present as I would have liked to have been, I think is probably the right answer. And I think that's partly because of COVID, partly because our house was under construction, and partly because I was so scared. I think if we're lucky enough to get pregnant again, and two of those three things aren't happening, I would like to be, you know, like, I would like to do more prenatal yoga and, like, really take the time to take care of my body and my mental state and just kind of be a little bit more focused.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I were, for both of our first pregnancies, pregnant in the craziest time.
Yeah. We're in a pandemic.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, you always hear, even when you go and research things online and read books, the people are always like, you know, you should go to a chiropractor or, you know, do a lot of exercise or do this prenatal thing or take time for yourself. And you can't do any of that because you're pregnant in a pandemic and right. You have to be really mindful. You can't be around your family, which I personally found to be really challenging because you want to rely on your girlfriends and your friends and your family to be around and also for them to see you pregnant, which
isn't
you know.
It wild. None of my friends, with the exception of a handful here in LA who I like saw from the parking lot, saw me pregnant. Like,
I know
you weren't out and about. Like, how crazy is that?
It is. It's totally crazy. I was actually thinking about the other day because I'm really close to my cousins and my uncles. And I was just like, none of them saw me.
You just
pregnant.
Have like a surprise baby. Like,
I know. I'm like a 6 month old. Like, here she is. It's just it's a strange thing. And it's also, you know, of course you're so grateful to be pregnant. And then there's also a little bit of sadness that comes with the fact that you can't celebrate it or share it with people like maybe you had hoped for or dreamed of for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. It's mentally, it's hard to be pregnant right now, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And we have
a lot of friends that are pregnant right now, but, there are a lot of people also who asked about, for your advice on certain things like optimizing fertility or ovulation and how big of a factor food plays into that.
For sure. So full transparency, I didn't change my diet at all. I mean, I stopped drinking. That was, you know, what they obviously not supposed to drink while you're pregnant. So stop that. I don't drink caffeine. I know a lot of people when they're trying to get pregnant or are pregnant, lay off caffeine. I don't drink caffeine as it is until I had a baby because now I realize how amazing it is and I'm obsessed.
Yeah, but I was going to say, how do you not drink it right now?
This week.
Yeah.
But for food, like I eat 85% healthy as it is. Like I don't believe in limiting yourself and cutting out chocolate or cutting out cheese or anything like that, unless you have like an underlying condition and you can't have dairy or something like that. I think it's better to indulge, if you will, in the things that bring you joy, because it's going to make you happy in other parts of your life rather than just eating kale and being angry about that. You know, like, I think food brings so much nourishment into our bodies. It's important to let yourself eat what you want. Like, for the first trimester, I only ate grilled cheeses because I couldn't keep anything else down. And I wasn't upset about that because I knew that's what my body clearly needed.
Right.
So I would say you just have to do what makes you feel right. Like, I know I eat a lot of vegetables and a lot of fruit and a little bit of red meat and protein here and there and cheese and pasta, and that's fine. If we had done IVF, I probably would have optimized a little bit more to like prep my body for implant and stuff and like implantation.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I didn't do that.
So what were the things that you would have done to prepare yourself for implantation?
I probably would have cut out any sort of inflammatory foods.
Right.
So whatever it is that, like, I can't even think off the top of my head. I have a whole book on it somewhere, but anything that makes your body not feel good or gassy or anything like that, I would have cut out just to give the best possible, like, potential place for an egg implant. Like, I would want nothing else to be, you know, inflamed or anything like that.
Right. And what do you think would be your best advice for women who might be in a similar situation to what you were in, may have just experienced their first miscarriage, or just struggling getting pregnant at all, or are at their very end of their road of just feeling maxed out on the, or overwhelmed by the whole entire process? I think you have been, as I've said before, tremendously optimistic and positive, and just always had that about you when it comes to this and everything, but especially something that is, you know, really draining,
yeah,
and heartbreaking and challenging to maintain optimism around.
Yeah.
But people wrote in asking what your advice would be for them who are in a similar journey.
I would say a couple things. One, know that it's not your fault. Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with, you're still an incredible person. Like, you still have a beautiful, like, heart and mind and all these things. And that's something you should focus on if you're going through this. I would also say find a few people that you're really comfortable talking to about it, because having that support group, whether it's your family, your friends, your doctors, whatever it is so huge. Like, I had my best friend, Emily, I called her after every doctor's appointment and told her everything that was happening, because it was nice to, and my parents as well, obviously, but it was nice to have a friend listen to everything and be able to help me with, like, process things. Like, she's smarter and wiser than I am. So it was nice to tell her these things. She hasn't gone through all these, but I could tell her what was happening, and she could be like, okay, well, let's try this next month. And, you know, having someone to be a sounding board that's not your husband, not your parents, is also helpful. And know that you're not alone. Like, it's so common, and a lot of people don't talk about it. When I first put out there that I had miscarried so many times, the amount of DMs that I had took me weeks to get through, because right. people just don't talk about it. And just know that if you're going through something like this, chances are some people in your friend group have gone through it too, or maybe your mom went through it or your aunt went through it, and they just never talked about it because it wasn't something that was discussed back then. Mm-hmm. So you coming to terms with it and then maybe being able to talk to friends about it, might open up a conversation with people that you never knew were ready to talk about it.
I actually remember really well when you were open about it and shared it on your Instagram. And I thought that it was so great because of the amount of people that I knew who felt like it was such a kind of taboo topic to be open about, especially on social media. And then also just seeing how many people that I know who have had miscarriages or really hard times getting pregnant and are still on a pregnancy journey, and seeing the, and even doing these BDA baby conversations, just seeing the need that there is for people to be able to have outlets or sounding boards or people to know that, you know, that they're also going through something similar and that they've either had a really positive, beautiful outcome like yourself, or just be able to feed off of other people's optimism around the situation, because it is one of those topics that we don't talk about yet. As you said, 1 in 4 people experience miscarriage, and it's still not something that people feel comfortable discussing.
Yeah. And it might take 3 years, it might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, and you end up adopting. That it doesn't, it doesn't matter how you get there. Like, it just matters that you stay positive, as positive as you can be, and that know that there's a way to have a baby somehow. Like, there are so many options out there.
Yeah. And I think being really gentle with yourself, I think that's something that you did really well, is just being kind and gentle to yourself. I know you mentioned to know that there's nothing wrong with you, which is a great thing to be able to know. But it's also, you know, you having this optimistic outlook on the whole thing, and also being gentle with yourself and not beating yourself up for something that's completely out of your control. Because I think a lot of women do that.
Yeah. And that's so hard. Like, beating yourself up is brutal. So if you can avoid, if you can do like one little thing every day to be kind to yourself, I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for doing this. This was so awesome. And
I'm so happy to see you.
You and Thomas. Bobby is so beautiful, and I cannot wait to get the girls together.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. And it's so funny that I feel like from all of our friends that are pregnant or just had babies, we're the only ones that had girls.
We really have a lot of girls.
I mean, I didn't grow up with any dude friends. I just had girlfriends. Like, they're going to have a lot of friends.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of friends. And also, we're able to have a great group for mommy groups that are COVID safe and COVID friendly, because these babies are going to have to be socialized eventually. And they're going to be able to like be best friends with each other in this pod that we've going to be creating.
Super into it. I can't wait.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. And thanks for everyone for watching.
Thank you.
Bye.
Amazing. Well, thank you guys so much. That was so fun. I love talking to Gabi. She's so awesome and so great. And again, I just think her optimism and positivity around such a serious topic and a challenging topic is really admirable. And I hope this conversation was helpful to those of you who are maybe in a fertility journey, a pregnancy journey, or might feel at a place of being hopeless in your journey. And just know that the important thing is to be kind to yourself, gentle with yourself, and try to remain as optimistic and positive as possible. And also just listen to people's journeys, like Gabi's journey and her beautiful little girl, Poppy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.